You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello and welcome to Smart Sex, Smart Love. We're talking about sex goes beyond the taboo, and talking about love goes beyond the honeymoon. I'm Dr. Joe Court, and today we'll be talking about anal sex with Mahmoud Beydoun. Mahmoud is a Brazilian psychologist. He's a certified sex therapist, digital influencer, and sexual influencer. Since 2018, he has dedicated his career to online sex education, providing information on sexual health and relationships on social media to almost 4 million people, mostly women. He also created an online course to help women express and live their sexuality with no guilt, shame, or fear of judgment. Currently, he has more than 3,000 students. Welcome, Mahmoud.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad I'm here. Thank you for the invitation. And nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you in person. I know. I don't even remember how I found you. I think I might have been on Instagram and found your stuff.
No, I will tell you how you found me. I read your book on Amazon, one about gay sex therapy. I don't remember the name of the book, but it's for gay men. It's like a guide.
Yes,
this one. Yep. I bought it on Amazon, and then I went on your Instagram and I DM'd you.
Ah, that's how we met. Okay, got it.
Yes, that's how we met.
And then I have to tell you, I fell in love with your content. And at first I was like, I didn't see how many people you had following me. I'm like, he can't have that many people following him. This stuff is like, so, you know, I thought like, I actually thought in America, your stuff, I think, would be offensive to women. But yes. It's not to the women that why? Why is it something you'll draw for them?
Because look, when I was at the sexology course, when I used to study, I used to do a lot of research on gay men because I'm gay. So these topics, these themes used to interest me more. But then out of nothing, when I started gaining a lot of followers on Instagram, I started realizing that most of them were women. And yeah. Most of them were women that like, they are from different educational contexts. They are from different social classes. And then when they used to ask me questions, they used to ask me questions using very popular language. So I started like doing videos using the popular language they used to ask me the questions, mm-hmm. so that they would feel closer to me. They would feel more intimate to me. And it's been going well because they feel like they are respected in their needs and in their limitations and in their necessities. I don't use difficult language at all. I use like very, very blunt language. And some people think it's offensive, but actually it's only for me, it's just a way to make sexology accessible to people, you know?
Absolutely. And you do. And I think it's great. But I just know here, like even when I do my TikTok videos, people get offended by language. TikTok gets offended by language. And I'm just trying to educate. And so I can't even say like today we're going to talk about anal sex. But on TikTok, I have to say butt sex. Like I'm 12.
Yes. Exactly. That's why I'm not on TikTok because
I know, but I love TikTok. You know what I love? My favorite about TikTok is that you get on other people's walls that wouldn't have seen you otherwise. And so then suddenly they're, you know what I mean? Like when you're, but for whatever reason you have, I mean, what a good reason, you have all this following. And do you talk about anal sex on your Instagram?
Yes, it's one of the basic, it's one of the main questions. Whenever, like every day I open a box on Instagram on my stories.
Yeah.
And even if I put today's topic is masturbation, today's topic is orgasm, today's topic is sexual orientation, someone will ask about anal sex. You know, I don't know how it is in America, but here in Brazil, it's something that is very fetishized. All the butt thing, all the anal sex thing, it's one of the most fetishized stuff in Brazilian society is anal sex.
Wow. Well,
and like the word anus is in everyone's mouth. It's in everyone's mouth. The word anus, the popular word for anus in Brazil is cu. C-U, cu.
Oh, C-U.
And this word is in various idiomatic expressions.
What does it mean?
Cu means anus, but for example, if you say tô com cu na mão, it means I'm very afraid. I have the anus in my hands in Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese. It means I'm very afraid. If you say, for example, cu virado para lua, your asshole is turned into the moon, it means you are a very lucky person. Brazilian idiomatic expressions.
So it's a very, like you say, fetishized and preoccupied a little bit with it.
Yes, exactly.
Now, here in America, it's stigmatized more for men. And I have my line, maybe you've heard me say it, your anus doesn't have a sexual orientation. It doesn't know whether it's gay, straight, or bi, because so many straight men think that if they like anal play, and women think this, if my guy likes anal play, he's gay. Like, no, there are gay men that never have anal.
That's something I always work with my followers. I like you said, most of my followers are straight women. And I always tell them that anal eroticism has nothing to do with sexual orientation and vice versa. And I'm really in shock because a lot of women who follow me, they come to me and they report that they are into pegging, you know, strap on. They use the dildos to penetrate their heterosexual men, and they think they are doing, like, sometimes they feel guilt for that, or they feel fear to do that because they think that this would mean that their husband or their boyfriend is gay. But it's not. Like, you can be a gay man and not like to be stimulated in your anus, and you can be a straight man and like it, and it's okay, because anal eroticism has nothing to do with sexual orientation.
100%. So I'm one of those guys. I'm a gay guy. I'm almost 58 years old. I've never had anal sex, top or bottom. It doesn't interest me. It's not an erotic zone. We have a Facebook group called Side Guys. We have 700 people in there. And so much shame exists for gay men who don't do anal sex, because at least in America, everything is you're a top or you're a bottom. It's all about penetration. And if you tell somebody you're a side, they're like, then how do you have sex? Like, the idea is that that's the only way to have sex somehow.
Yes, here in Brazil, we refer to top and bottom as active and passive, ativo e passivo. But I don't like these terms. I don't like neither the terms ativo e passivo, active or passive, nor the terms top and bottom.
What do you like? I'm loving that. What would you say?
I prefer the scientific terms insertive and receptive, because it's actually what happens. Someone inserts a penis inside other one's butt, and the other one receives the penis. And this is a better term for me to refer to anal sex. So for me, scientifically, it's insertive anal sex or receptive anal sex. Because if I like receptive anal sex, if I like to receive a penis inside me, doesn't mean I'm always on a bottom position in bed. I can be on top. And doesn't mean I'm necessarily passive in bed. Like, passive, you don't do anything. You just interact passively with the situation. Did you get what I mean?
I absolutely do, and I love it, because there are bottoms. Well, when we say bottoms, they're not all passive. Sometimes they're power bottoms, right? Do you have that word out there?
Yeah, no, it's more. Look, the Brazilian gay culture is very influenced by the American culture, so we use sometimes power bottom, but in Portuguese, I can't find a term to refer. Ah, yes, there's a term. Passivona. It means someone who only likes to do receptive anal sex.
Got it. I like that you're changing the language and taking away the power dynamics, because it's not necessarily. One time I had a client, I'll never forget it. He was straight, and he was talking about giving anal sex to his wife. And he said, you know, people don't realize I'm vulnerable too, as the one inserting. It's not just her vulnerability receiving. I'm vulnerable going in. I'd never thought about that. This was like 20 years ago.
Exactly. That's why we should get rid of these power dynamics. What we like to do in bed has nothing to do with our personality traits or other stuff.
That's what I love about your work. You differentiate all this stuff. But talking about anal sex, what are the myths that you want to bust about anal sex? And no pun intended.
Look, most people think that anal sex is necessarily painful. Like, if you think about anal sex, people would think immediately about pain, but this is not true. If you do anal sex correctly with using lubricants, if you don't do anal sex like you do vaginal sex or any other type of sex, then It is pleasant if you like it, if you do it correctly. So the first myth I want to debunk is that anal sex is not necessarily painful.
Okay, good. What else?
Another one is that a lot of people think that anal sex is something disgusting or something sinful. I don't think it is necessarily disgusting. It's another myth we should debunk because a lot of people don't like to do anal sex, but a lot of people feel like it. They do like it, and they feel like repressed because of such myths. So this is another myth we should debunk, that anal sex is something disgusting or sinful or something wrong. It's not wrong if it's the way you feel you want to express your sexual needs, if it's the way you you feel like to react sexually, and if it's consensual, it's not wrong. So these are two basic myths I think we need to debunk so that people would do anal sex with more pleasure and less pain. You know, yeah. When I was a student at sexology and we read the DSM, I realized that all the sexual dysfunctions written in the DSM refer to a heterosexual traditional sex of the penis inside the vagina. Mm-hmm. And I felt that none of that addressed me. And then I had a problem that that impeded me from having pleasure during anal sex. And I perceived that that was a sexual problem for me. That if I lost erection or if I had fast ejaculations, this wouldn't be a problem for me. But feeling pain during anal sex was a big problem for me. That's why I decided to study anal dyspareunia, which is pain during anal sex, which is something that is not that studied by sexologists, because most of the times they focus on problems that address the traditional sex, the cis heterosexual sex. Did you get what I mean?
I do know what you mean. So wait, this is important though, because you first said it wasn't painful, but now you're talking about it being painful. So can you help us?
Yes. Yes. It is not naturally painful, but sometimes it could be painful. And then this would be characterized as a sexual difficulty that can be solved with sexual therapy, with medical interventions, with therapeutic interventions. It's like, anal dyspareunia is like a sexual dysfunction, like dyspareunia in women, or like erectile dysfunction, or like premature ejaculation.
Yes.
Did you get it now?
Yeah, like a disorder. Like something.
Yes, it's like a disorder.
Yes. Yes. And so what you're saying is, let's help with the disorder. It's not the anal sex that's the problem. It's the.
Yes. Exactly. Thank you. You're getting what I mean. You're a good listener.
I'm liking it. So then one of the things we're taught here is to have people get different size dilators and allow themselves to go up from smaller to larger to be able to handle it. Is that what you do?
Yes. Yes. But there are also techniques I teach my patients and my students to relax, because the researches, they show that the main cause of pain during anal sex is lack of relaxation and lack of lubrication. Most women, when they do anal sex, they just don't use a lubricant, and the anus is not like the vagina. You know, the vagina, we have the Bartholin glands, right? We have the Bartholin glands, and they secrete a natural lubrication. But in the anus, we don't have this natural lubrication. So people must use a lubricant, a water-based lubricant. And another thing we do is to teach them how to relax. There are techniques to relax the anus.
I like that. Right. Okay. And what about people? I've had clients say, when I am entered, I feel like I have to evacuate immediately. Like they have to feel like they have to evacuate. What about that?
We have something called here in Brazil, chuca, which is the popular term for enema. Most doctors, they don't recommend to do that every day because it can alterate the intestinal flora. But most people who do anal sex, a lot of people who do anal sex, they do it. So I like to teach the right way to do it, because the way that there is less impact on health. For example, there are disposable ones. I don't know if they exist in the US, but here in Brazil, we have disposable enemas. You know, you buy it once at the pharmacy, you use it once, and then you throw it out.
Okay.
I have one here. Let me see.
But the listeners,
this is a podcast. There's the listeners want to see. I would send you a picture later.
Okay. No, that's fine. Uh-huh. Yeah, what about cleaning out? You know, like the person that's the what do you call the person receiving?
The receptive partner.
The receptive partner, right? They have a little bit more work on their hands because they have to evacuate or like clean themselves out.
Yes, that's why they do the enema, right?
Oh.
And then they would be less. They would go to anal sex with less fear, you know, that they would evacuate. Or
what about? Also, I've had people say, even though my partner cleaned out, when I pulled my penis out or pulled out the strap on, there was feces on it, and it was such a turnoff.
Yes, because look, enema is not a guarantee that this wouldn't happen. Because actually, one of the main functions of the anus is to retain our feces. So. The use of enema would reduce the probability, but it wouldn't eliminate totally the probability of, because a lot of people, they are afraid to do receptive anal sex because they are afraid to eliminate feces on the partner's penis or to dirty the sheets. So that's why I indicate enema, right? That's why I like to teach the right way to do it. There are disposable objects for them here in Brazil. But also, enema is not a guarantee that this is not going to happen.
Right.
So that's why people should be aware that accidents may happen and it's okay. The more you feel intimate with your partner, the more you deal better with the situation, the better you deal with the situation if it happens.
So what about, you also talk about sex toys and gadgets for anal foreplay. What would that be?
Yes. Anal plugs, you know, dilators. There are specific objects that can be used to stimulate the anus, because I don't know in the States, but here in Brazil, there are a lot of accidents that happen because people would insert anything there, like desodorants or vegetables or any object. And sometimes they have to go to the emergency to take it out. That's why I think that we sex educators should indicate the right objects for this type of stimulation. All the objects inserted in the anus, they have to have stoppers that impede them from being sugado, how do they say to
sucked
be
in. We say sucked
in, you know. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I had the same training that you want to tell somebody, and it should have a hook or some way you can pull it back out just in case, because otherwise
exactly.
You got like that. Right.
Exactly.
I've never heard of anal foreplay. That's a really wakes up my brain for people to think, if you're going to have anal sex, there's anal foreplay. Would that include?
Yes, ribbing? Of course. You can caress the butt. You can insert the fingers. Beijo grego is like an analingus. Anilingus? Is that right?
Analingus.
It's one type of anal foreplay.
Yeah, and... we say here, people still don't know what that means. So it's licking anus, you know. I have to tell
licking
people.
Licking anus.
Yeah.
Here in Brazil, it's beijo grego. It means Greek kiss.
Oh, our Greek kiss. Oh, yeah, that makes sense, of course. In Jewish, on Sex in the City, they said, because in Jewish, you would say, tuchus lingus, which is anus in Yiddish. And then you write down here types of anal practices. So what does that mean? Because I'm thinking, since I don't do it, how many times?
Yes, we have the, because people sometimes think that sex is only anything that involves a penis inside something, right? But yeah. We don't need penises necessarily to feel sexually stimulated or to play sexually. So there is insertive anal sex. This is one type. There's receptive anal sex. This is other type. There is fingering, this is a type of anal practice. If you put a finger inside someone's asshole, this is a type of anal practice. If you lick someone's asshole or butt, this is a type of anal practice. There's a stuffing, which is putting objects inside. There is fisting. There are several types of practices, not only a penis inside a butt.
And I know that you're working, this is like your dissertation, isn't it? You're working on this in your PhD program?
No, not my PhD. I worked on that during my sex certificate program. It was like in 2016.
Oh, all right.
I'm still trying to go. I want to do my PhD in the US. I'm trying to, but in the future, not now.
Okay. You know that Modern Sex Therapy Institute provides them. We talked about that.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I want to do the gay and transgender affirmative one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yes, we have that going too. What I like about what you're saying is it applies to everyone. It doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter orientation. Everybody has an anus.
Yes, everybody has an anus. And something I did wrong in my dissertation is that I only talked about men who have sex with men and heterosexual women. But lesbian women, they also like anal sex. There are a lot of lesbian women who love to do anal sex.
Yes.
So everyone has a butt.
Right. That's what your stuff just is. So it's diversity inclusive, right?
Yes.
What else do you think is important about anal sex that I haven't asked about, we didn't talk about?
The more excited you are, the more you feel excited, the more desire you have, the better the anal sex is, the more relaxed you become, because the systems in our body that control the excitation process are the same ones that control the relaxation process. So, for example, if I'm very excited, it means that my parasympathetic system is working, and this is the same system that makes me feel more relaxed. Did you get what I'm saying?
Yes, right. So, right, we go into an altered state when we're turned on and we're aroused, and then our body relaxes.
The more turned on you become, the more you relaxed you become. So, the better anal sex you have. This is very important, and the more you feel intimate with your partner, the better.
This is the one last question I wanted to ask you. I don't want to forget. What about poppers? You know, a lot of gay men and bisexual men, or just men in general,
yes,
who are.
I was afraid to talk about poppers because it's illegal here in Brazil. I don't know in the United States, but a lot. What I read in the researches is that when people use poppers, they have less. They are less prone to feel pain during anal sex. Because when people inhale poppers, it has a vasodilating effect, and the anus, it relaxes, you know, and the first penetration tends to be less painful.
Got it. Okay. Right. And I know. I don't know if they'll edit this out here or not, but I know it's frequently used and helps people feel more relaxed.
Yes, it helps, but it has a lot of side effects. One of the main causes of death between gay men in the beginning of the millennium, in the years 2000, was because they used poppers with the Viagra, you cannot combine both substances. That's why sex education, I think, should work with risk reduction. You know, like we as sex educators, we should tell people that. They shouldn't mix such stuff. Did you get what I mean?
Yes, right. That they shouldn't. That it's dangerous to use Viagra.
It's very dangerous.
Yes, and poppers together. Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. So, all right, we're going to have to stop. I could keep talking to you more. Maybe we'll bring you back next season. How can people
find you? You can find me on at @MahmoudBaidoun_. This is my Instagram account. Everything is in Portuguese, but I speak English, so if you DM me, we can chat about sexuality, about anything. Feel free. I'm always available online. Thank you, Joe. I'm a really fan of your work. I love your book. And soon I'm going to be your student at the Modern Sex Institute.
I would love that. And I'm a fan of yours. And it's true. I want people to hear this. You are always available. When I DM you, you are right there. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Those of you that were listening today, if you enjoyed this show, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. You can always follow me at Dr. Joe Court on Instagram, Twitter, and now TikTok. Stay safe and stay healthy, and we'll see you next time. All right. Thank you, Mahmoud.